The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlachan Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Daf Lamed Aleph.
Comes the next Mishnah. HaMeniach Perot Liyot Mefrish Alehem Terumah Ma'asrot. Okay, let's say a person had fruit over there. He left it, he had a place over there, and he was going to take terumot and ma'asot from them. Good. Ma'ot, or he left, let's say, monies. Liyot mafrish alehen ma'asir sheni. He was going to use that money in order to make a pidyon for ma'asir sheni. Okay? Mafrish alehen b'chizkat shehen kayamim. He can mafrish from them on the assumption that they are still around. Rashi, hameniach perot liot mafrish alehen, somech al elu ve'ochel tevarim acharim, which means he separated terumah and ma'aser. You know what? This is going to be my terumah and ma'aser. He relies on what he separated in order to eat other products. Yesh lo ve'omer hare terumatan be'otan perot shekseti lekach. Right? These fruit that I designate are considered terumah. Ve'ken oseh tamid. That's what he does. Now, the problem is when he goes now in the other place, wherever he's going to eat his product, now we don't know if that terumah that you took is still around. Maybe it perished, maybe it's not around, maybe it got lost. So the Mishnah says, you know what, you could assume that the terumah that you separated is still there. It didn't get stolen, it didn't get spoiled, because if it got spoiled, it got ruined, you didn't give you terumah, then you can eat what you're eating is tevet. So the Mishnah's language again, ha-meniyah pirot liyot mafrish alein terumah ma'asrot. He leaves fruit over there for terumah and ma'asrot. Ma'ot, or he leaves monies. Now, what are the monies benefiting him? Now he wants to eat his ma'aser sheni. Based on the money that he left over, that he's going to transfer the kedusha to the money. Liyot mafrish alein ma'aser sheni, mafrish alein be'azkat shen kayamin. Im avdu, but let's say he goes back and he sees they're not there anymore. Now comes out, he didn't take his terumot ma'asot, he ate tevalim. So the Mishnah says even worse. Harizeh choshesh me'et le'et. You gotta go back, me'et le'et, you gotta go back literally 24 hours, which is a simple pshat in the Mishnah before we get into the Machloket and the Gemara. It sounds like whatever you ate in the past 24 hours, you gotta assume is not fixed, and you're gonna have to retake terumot and ma'asot and all that item, which means you don't say from the time that you found it, you gotta go back 24 hours before that and say everything you ate was not mi'usar, and you have to take terumah and ma'aser. And we wait for the Gemara to see a clear definition of what this me'et le'et means. Devrei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yehuda Omer, new point, b'shlosha perakim bodkim et hayayin. There are three times a year that they check the wine, which means, let's say they left wine in order that you're going to use this as hafrasha. Because you have to take terumot and ma'asrot. So let's say you have a barrels over there that you're leaving it, you know, for the terumot and ma'asrot. So you have to be concerned that what? Maybe it turned into vinegar. Now you cannot take terumah if it is vinegar. It's got to be wine. So three times a year, you got to go into the barrels to make sure that your terumah, that you're being mafrish, is still wine. What are those three times a year? So it says, Bikidum shel motzae hachag, that she says, that is when the winds start to blow, the easterly wind that blows after Sukkot. It seems that easterly wind causes wine to turn into vinegar. So you're right after Sukkot, you got to go check the barrel. Ubhotza'at simadar, or at the time the trees start to produce a little budding, that she says that's a small little grape that comes out of the tree, that's just a time factor. Just saying, when that happens, that's already till later than Sukkot. After Sukkot, the trees start to blossom a little. So therefore, at that time, you got to go check your wine to make sure it didn't spoil. That's even a later time. When the trees are growing, the grape trees, where the tree already has a little moisture in the grape itself. Where if you would squeeze it, something would come out. That she says, "Bishat kinisat ma'im leboser kishem kifula lavan." When the grape reaches the size of a kifula lavan, nikreim boser ukshelachluchit nichnes. So there's moisture already in the grape. V'gidela betocho sheyachol la'atzor mehen kolshu. When you're able to squeeze, something will come out. That's called ma'im kinisat ma'im. Another explanation that she says they would use this ma'im in this boser. It's like a very very tart. It's not yet fully ripened grape. It's a small little grape. They use it for vinegar. They would use it to dip their as a condiment. And that's what kinisat ma'im means. But the point is, there are three different times of the year that a person has to check his wine. Why does he have to check his wine for? Because he's giving this wine as ma'asir. Teruma. It's got to be wine. It cannot be vinegar. So we're telling you, there's three times a year. When is the three times a year? Number one, after Sukkot, he goes to his vats. Okay, the wine is still good. Okay, this is his teruma. Then the next time he has to check it is when the trees start to produce a little. Now that's just the time. There's no connection between the tree and his wine. It's just the time, yeah.
Equally spaced, these
yeah, I don't think it's equally spaced, but it seems that the Hakamim understood that during these times of the year, something could happen to the wine. So therefore, and then you check it again, once the grapes reach the size of a boser. Now the Gemara explains, my me'et le'et. Oh, you told me in the Mishnah, guy went, he put some fruit on the side for my terumot masrot. He started eating other fruit, relying on what he put on the side. He comes back, he sees it's not there anymore. So the Mishnah says, oh, we had a concern over here. For sure what you ate tevil. For sure what you ate, you got to fix, but from when? I don't know when it was missing. So the Mishnah gave you the rule of me'et le'et. Right, the 24-hour rule. 24 hours from what? So the Gemara says, my me'et le'et, Rabbi Yohanan amar me'et le'et shel bedika. From the time that you checked, the last time you checked, right, you got to go 24 hours from the time of the bedika. Which means, when you went back into the room, right, to look for your product, it wasn't there. I'll give you just a clear case so you can understand it. Guy went on Sunday, he put product in the room, he said, this is going to be for my tiruma over here. Beautiful. Okay? He went during the week over there, he's eating stuff, he's doing everything, relying on that product. Okay? Comes Thursday, he goes back into the room just to make sure that everything's okay. There's no food over there. Oh, so now he's got to go from the time of the bidika, 24 hours. Anything he ate from Wednesday. From Wednesday on, you gotta assume that what? The items were not there yet, and therefore you gotta take terumot, ma'asrot, and all that stuff over again. Okay, it's the 24-hour rule according to Rabbi Yohanan. Comes to and says, Rabbi Azar ben Antiknos Omer, Mishum Rabbi Azar ben Rabbi Yanai, Me'et le'et shel hanaha. He comes along, you put the fruit down on Sunday. So therefore, you get to eat until Tuesday. Which means you get 24 hours after the Hanaha. You assume that we're still there. Now we're on Thursday already. Right? Thursday goes back and he finds out the goods are not there. So he says, what the law is, you get to whatever you ate from 24 hours after the placement is okay. It's a different way of understanding it. You put it on Sunday, you go forward. You assume that it was there for at least 24 hours. So whatever you did Sunday until Tuesday, and Sunday, 24 hours later, or Monday, I guess, right? That is okay. From then on, then you got to be concerned. So let's review the two shitot. One is looking at 24 hours from the bidika, which means when you checked it, I checked it on Thursday. So what? I'm good only up until 24 hours, right? That means I only have to, I'd be concerned, I'm sorry, for a smaller amount of window. I have to be concerned about the product from Wednesday till Thursday. However, according to this Shita, It's we gotta go 24 hours after the Hanaha. So therefore, if I now I'm on Thursday, I put it on Sunday, I gotta go all the way back until Monday. So I only got from Sunday to Monday, I'm okay. So comes again what on says. Tenan, we looked in the Mishnah. Im Avdu. Now let's make diukim in the Mishnah to see who's correct. If the product got lost, harize choshesh me'et le'et. Now from the language of the Mishnah, you're choshesh. You gotta be concerned. Me'et le'et. That's right, you got to be concerned, you got to be concerned for the 24-hour period from when you found. You got to be concerned from Wednesday to Thursday. That makes sense, the last word of the Mishnah. And on the bottom of me'et le'et shel hanacha, hay me'et le'et, it should say, ad me'et le'et me've'ele. It should say you have to be concerned until me'et le'et of the hanacha. You understand the language of the Mishnah is saying you choshesh me'et le'et. Le'et, it sounds like, for that window. For that 24-hour window. But according to the other shita, it should say you have to be choshesh ad me'et le'et. You only have to be choshesh, you have to be choshesh until me'et le'et. Because the first 24 hours you have to be worried about. So the language of the Mishnah is more to the shita of Rabbi Yohanan. Tanat Gemara says, you're right, Kasha. The language of the Mishnah fits more according to Rabbi Yochanan over the second Shita. Clear? Comes the Gemara and says, Devrei Rabbi Elazar. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says, we learned that this is the Shita in the Mishnah. Incidentally, Me'et Le'et is the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. The Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Not to be confused now with the Amora that we're going to read Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat. Amar Rabbi Elazar. This is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat. Halukin alav haverav al Rabbi Elazar. The rabbis argue in Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua of the Mishnah that said you go back me'et le'et. How do you know they argued it? Nam mikveh shenimdad. You have a mikveh 40 se'ah. They measured it. V'nimsa haser. Oh, they went to measure it. You found out it didn't have 40 se'ah. Kol taharot shenasu al gabav lemafreya. All the things that you want to purify in that mikveh retroactively, ben b'reshut yachid, ben b'reshut rabim, whether the items were in the reshut yachid or the reshut rabim, we'll explain that in a moment. Teme'ot, which sounds like according to this, you got to go back forever. That's obviously arguing with Awashita. Awashita said, me'et le'et. Me'et le'et, either 24 hours or 24 hours from the from after the Hanaha. This is saying you got to go back from the beginning. Kabbalah says, Pshita de Halukim. What do I need the Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat to tell me that this Shita is arguing the Rabbi Elazar ben Mishnah? It's obvious. Do I need the Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat to tell me that this Shita is different than the Rabbi Elazar ben Mishnah? It's obvious. Now, the tema maile mafreya me'et le'et. Kamash malan. You would have thought maybe when it says by the case of the mikveh that you got to go to the mafreya, you would have thought the mafreya means 24 hours. You know, either way, explaining it. Kamash malan, that when it says the mafreya, it means all the way back. And indeed, they are arguing. This shita is arguing on Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Now we have to see what this reshut yachid and reshut rabim business. And we really have to ask ourselves another question. What happened to Hazakah? You have a mikveh, it's got 40 se'ah. Right? It was kosher at one point. So now you come along and see that it's chaser. Why do you got to assume over here the worst? That it was chaser, you got to go all the way back. So the Tosfot explains over here, because keneged this chazakah of the mikveh is kasher, you have two things working against you. Number one, you see it's missing now. So that's one ri'uta. And number two, the items that you went to dip in this mikveh had a chizkat tameh. They were tameh. That is the second item. So I got a chesaron in the mikveh. You got items that were chizkat tameh. So the two di'utahs are going to go against my chazakah that the mikveh had a 40 se'ah shi'ur. Now, what is the b'raita over making a difference? A shuta yahid, a shuta, what is that all about? Now, remember we learned in the Masechet Sota, a very important klal when it comes to tum'ah. Safek tum'ah b'reshut yahid, safeko tameh. Safek tumah b'reshut rabim safekot tahor. We learned that from the Sota. What does that mean? I have a safek. Naga or lo naga. Did it touch or didn't touch? Reshut yachid, you have to be mahmir. Tameh. have a sevek that the sheretz touch in the Rishut HaRabim sefekot tahor. In this case over here, it's not going to apply because over here we're talking about an item that was tameh already. Something to do with sefek, did it touch or didn't touch. We're talking about stuff that was got tameh that went into this mikveh. So the mafrei, you got to say, all the stuff that went into this mikveh, what do I care if it was Rishut HaRabim? That's not nogeya. That's nogeya if it ever became tameh or not. But the gabes stuff that is tameh already that goes into the mikveh, that's ma'uskat tameh, that's not a sefek. So it's not going to make a difference whether it was the shoot the yachid or the shoot harabim. This doesn't apply. They have to go all the way back. So therefore, this shita must be arguing on the tanava mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, because he says you only go me'et. Me'et comes again and continues. Rabbi Yehuda amen begimel perakim. We said Rabbi Yehuda said in the mishnah, 3 times a year, you got to check the wine that it did not spoil. Tana bikidum shel motzei hag, that which we said that you check it after Sukkot when the easterly wind starts to blow shel tekufa. Now, without getting into a whole subject of the tekufa, tekufa literally means the season. Meaning like this, it's possible we have 4 seasons. The seasons are about 91. And plus and change days a year. The concern over here is you have to be in the season of Sukkot. That's the tekufa of Sukkot. Now the tekufa, the season, sometimes Sukkot comes early. So sometimes Sukkot is still in tekufa Tammuz. It's still in the summer season. When we say that it's the Motzei Sukkot Shil Tekufa, that's only talking about the way that she says, we can read it inside, Im Kivan Nechnesat Tekufat Tishri. That's the next season. Aval Im Mashchat Tekufat Hama Adkan Lo. But if it's still like the summer, which we would call it, means Sukkot came early, it's not. That's not the delineating point. That's not when you have to check your wine. I guess the easterly wind is not yet manifest, and the concern of it is that the easterly wind causes the wine to become spoiled. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanya, new point. There are 3 times a year that you sell wheat. Now, obviously, the Gemara is not giving us business advice over here. We have to see what the purpose of the Gemara is to tell us when you should sell your wheat. But it says, Lefnei Azera, that's before the planting season. Ubishat Azera, that's at the time of the planting. Ubifros at Pesach, 15 days before Pesach. Ubishlosha Perakim Mochrim. It's 3 times that you should sell wine. Bifros at Pesach, 15 days before Pesach. Bifros at Azera, 15 days before Shavuot. 15 days before Sukkot, the shemen, and when you sell oil, me'atzeret va'ilach, from Shavuot and on, that's when you sell oil. What's the halakot over here? What are you teaching me? Amaravav etim arapapa le'shutafin. It's the law of partners. What does that mean, Nashi? Shutafin, she'en ha'ehad yachol lemkot shlo midat havero. Your partners over here. One partner cannot sell product without getting permission from the other partner. Well, obviously they want to fetch the best price. So therefore the partners got to both agree, right, now's the time to sell. However, chutz lepirakim alalu, avad lepirakim alalu, during these times that we mentioned, en sarich limalek, you don't got to ask, because that's the best time to sell the goods. And therefore, you can sell it without even asking your partner. V'im machar v'nityaker ha'shar le'achar zeman er alaf kedum. Now let's say they sold it at the times that the Gemara says, which is the opportune time to sell, and then the price went up. The other partner cannot have a claim on him. He can say, hey, you sold without asking me, I would have told you. No. During this time of year, that's the right time to sell. With a normal, you're going to get the best price. Nafka mina, you don't got to ask out a guy. Comes the Gemara and says, what happens after these times? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Etim Arav Papa, L'shtorim Mikan V'ilach Mai. After the times, then what? So Amar Rav Kol Yoma Pirkehu. After these times, every day is the time to sell. So I guess, because now you want to unload the goods. After these times, that's the main season over there. So when these times pass over there, so all the time is to sell. These are the opportune times to sell. Once the time is passed, then already every day is its time. Now we go into some derashot. Vayhi kiz, Kizroa Hashemesh. This is talking about this book of Yonah. Yonah, after the story, he was spit out of the mouth of the whale. So it says the sun came on him. Vayman Elohim ruach kadim harishit. God brought an easterly wind, harishit. So it was my harishit. Amar of Yehuda b'sha'ash menashevet. The wind is so strong that when it blows, oseh telamim telamim bayam. It makes furrows in the ocean. I guess blowing the water, it causes the water to push the earth in the ocean and makes like furrows. That's what it calls harishit melashon horesh, like a wind that causes the effect of plowing. Now, amar le Rabba, iachi haynu dechti v'tach haShemesh al rosh Yonah v'yitalef. What does it got to do with the pasuk that says that the sun beat on Yonah's head and he fainted? Which is mashma, the word, the wind over here, it seems, caused the world to become very hot. The way you're explaining harishit, you're explaining it as a strong wind. But the pasuk is mashma that it was a wind that causes heat. Because the pasuk says Yonah became very sun stricken and therefore he fainted. So what does the word harishit got to do with the sun? When the easterly wind blows, it silences all the other winds, which means there are other winds in the world. For example, the southerly wind, which is a cool wind. However, when the easterly wind comes, that's a hot wind, and it's ruach harishit melashon heresh. I mean, it's mute. It mutes all the other winds and brings a tremendous amount of heat into the world. Ve'ainu dichtiv, and that's what the pasuk means in Iyov, asher begadecha hamim. Your clothes are hot. Behashket eretz midarom. When the southerly wind is silent, then already the clothes get hot. What does that mean? That you have a great manifestation of the easterly wind that is silencing the southerly wind, which is a cool wind, and therefore the easterly wind causes heat to come into the world. And Gemara explains. Amar of Tahlifa, Barav Azda, Barav Azda, Ematei Begadecha Hamim, when are a person's clothes hot? Bishah Shashket, Eris Medarom. When the southerly wind stops. Shebishah Menashevet, Meshateket Kol Aruchot, Mipanea. When the easterly wind comes, it silences all the other winds. As she says, Umiwa Mashkita, who is the one that silences all the winds? Ruach Mizrehit. It is the easterly wind. Ravuna v'Rav Chasdavu Yatve. Okay, two rabbis were sitting. Ravuna v'Rav Chasdavu were sitting. Halib Bazil Gineva Alayu. Another rabbi called Gineva, he came towards them. Amar had the Havles. One rabbi said, Nikum Mekame, let us stand up in front of Gineva. Debar Uriyanu. After his, he's a scholar. Bar Uriyan, he's a scholar. Amar le Idak, the other rabbi said, Mekame Palga'an Nikum. Are we going to stand over in front of a divisive person? As she says, Ba'al Miriba. If you remember, we learned on Dav Zayin that he got into a fight with Mor Ukba, and he caused Mor Ukba tremendous tsar. So therefore, we're going to stand in front of this divisive man over here. And in the interim, Ata iu legabayu, Gineva walked right up to them. Amar liu b'mayaski, the rabbis, what are you studying? Amru le beruchot, we're learning about winds. Amar liu, I'll tell you a hadush about winds. Achi amar av hanan, bar rava amar av dalid ruchot menashvot bechol yom. There are four winds that manifest every single day. The ruach sifonit minashevet im kulam. With every wind, there has to be the northerly wind. That is the calm wind. It is not hot and it is not cold. It sweetens, Rashi says, all the other winds, which means it tempers all the other winds. She'il malekin, without the northerly winds, en ha'olam mitkayem afilu sha'ahat. The world cannot exist even for one moment. Oh, that southerly wind, which is a cold wind, is the hardest, most difficult. If it wasn't for the malach that is called ben netz, as she says, this is like a bird. So there's a certain angel that's in charge of this wind over here. Maharevet kol ha'olam kolo mepare. It would destroy the entire world. Okay, that is the southerly wind. Shnei emar, like the pasuk says, Ami binatcha ye'abed netz yifros kenafav leteman, which means with your wisdom, ye'abed netz yifros kenafav leteman, the netz springs its wings or sprouts its wings to the south. What does this mean over there? Which means in order to protect the world from the southerly wind. So it says, Rava v'Rav Nachman, story, Bar Yitzhak, two rabbis, Avu Yadve, they were sitting, Rava Chalif v'Azir, Rav Nachman, Bar Yaakov, Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov passed by, but he was sitting, the Yatib Begu Harka de Dahaba, he was in a golden carriage. They used to carry, let's say, the nobleman in. They were bringing him in a carriage, like a carriage. Uparis ale sarbela de carte. Oh, he was wearing a very fancy, like a robe made out of techelet. So Rava azal legabe. They didn't know it was a rabbi. They thought he was one of the agents of the government. So Rava went to greet him. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak lo azal legabe. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak said, "I'm not going to greet him." Amar dilma mi inche de beresh gilutaninu. The rabbi said, "Listen, he's probably from." One of the members of the Resh Giluta, that's the government official. Rava Sarichlu. Rava needs to go talk to him. Ana lo tsarichna. He says, I don't have to go talk to him. Why? Because Rav Nachman was actually the son-in-law of the Nasi, which basically they thought he was a government official. So Rava says, I got to go talk to him. I got to find favor in his eyes. So Rav Nachman comes along, I don't got to go to him already. I'm connected. In any event, Kedehazad Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, and when they realized that it was Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, it was the rabbi, Hava Azil Gabe, they went. Galil Darai, it was very hot. It seems the wind was blowing, and the easterly wind, and it was very, very hot. So hot that Rav Nachman, who was in the carriage, had to lift up his sleeves because it was so hot. Amar, and he said, Shadyan Nashiv. Now, what does Shadyan Nashiv mean? So that she explains, Hashedam min Hashem. It is so windy that the caravan or the carriage is shaking. Because the wind was blowing the doors of the carriage. Tosfot learns differently. Tosfot says he compared the wind, the easterly wind, to a shed. He said, "Ah, this demon over here is roaring. This wind over here of the east, very, very hot." Amar Rava. Achi Amar Rav. This is what Rav said. Isha mapelet bo. That wind over there, it causes ladies to miscarry their children. Usmuel Amar afiru margelit shebayam merakevet bo. Even the pearl at the end of the ocean gets spoiled, rots. Rabbi Yohanan Amar afiru shechvat zera shebemei isha. Even the semen that's in the mother's, in the lady's womb, that the first 3 days is considered fertile, misarahabo, becomes putrid. So they learned these three things that the easterly wind does from a pasuk. Ki hu ben achim yafri, yavo kadim, ruach Hashem midbar, ole v'yivosh mekoro. So the Gemara explains each part. We're talking about ruach kadim over here, that's the easterly wind. Yivosh mekoro, it dries up the source, zu mekora shel isha. That's referring to the mekor, the source of a lady. It means the seed that is in the lady's womb. V'yecherav ma'ayono. I'm sorry. The first opinion that says zu mekora shel, that's a miscarriage. The mekor is when a lady's pregnant, that she has a baby in her womb. That's the word. Mekoros, her womb. So what? It's going to dry it up. V'yecherav ma'ayono, and it's going to destroy the spring. Ze shechvat zera. That's referring to the shechvat zera. It's in the lady's womb. The first 3 days that normally we said is fertile. It destroys it and makes it putrid. Yisse osar kol keli hamda. It destroys all good things. Keli hamda, things that are treasures. Zumar galit shebayam. Even the pearls in the sea become ruined. Amar Rabba Adi Surahu de Daike Kera. He says this item, Ade means Dabarze, from the people of Surah, they are midayek the following pasuk. They analyze the following pasuk. The pasuk we just quoted about the easterly wind, it starts off like this. Ben Ahim Yafri. What is that pasuk referring to? Maiki hu ben Ahim Yafri. Amar Rava. So Rava comes along and says, Afilu shufta bekufina de marar rafya. Even the handle in the mara, in the shovel, becomes loose. When the easterly wind blows, there's so much heat in the world, it causes the wood to contract. Normally, in the heat, things, I guess, expand. But here it's a dry wind, and therefore it causes the handle to contract, and therefore it falls out of the socket. And that's what pasuk means. When it says, Ben Achim, Achim of it means Lashon Ham. It's hot, Yafri. Yafri is coming from the Lashon over here. It becomes Rafui. It becomes loose. Second interpretation, Rabbi Yosef Amar Afilu Siketa Bedafna Rafia. Which means, let's say you have a plank that's in the wall. When you have this easterly wind, it loosens it and the plank comes out. Same point. Ahim Yafri. When it's hot, it becomes Refuya. Rav Chabar Yaakov Amar Afilu Kanya Bechufta Rafya. Even the wicker baskets that have the reeds, you know, weaved in them, when the easterly wind comes, it becomes loose and it comes out of its place as well. So you see what? The easterly wind is so hot, Ben Achim Yafri, it causes these things to become loose. Hadran Anach Kol Aget.